Welcome to The Word at Westminster, a podcast with talks, studies, interviews, sermons, and more from Westminster Church in Barrie, Canada. It's about learning and living God's Word. For years, there has been an assumption that younger people tend to be more liberal, meaning they are more socially progressive on a variety of modern issues. A decade ago, I remember someone telling me, "You're never as liberal as you are when you are in college." That sentiment seemed to be widespread. I've heard it said, therefore, that the church needs to get with the times in order to appeal to the younger generation. However, there is some new research which challenges some of those assumptions. A recent article in The Times by James Marriott was titled, "Full Fat Faith, the Young Christian Converts Filling Our Churches." Is that true? If so, why? Now, before I present the research, let me share a few personal observations. First, no matter what we are told by various studies, the church should never shift its stance on important biblical beliefs or practices just because it's the popular thing to do. As I wrote in a recent devotional, our job is to faithfully follow Jesus, not thoughtlessly follow the crowd. Second, I too have noticed something happening. Many of my colleagues have noticed it too. Younger Christians are appearing in evangelical churches, not in waves, but here and there, consistently. Third, for years, there has been commentary on how conservative churches grow and how liberal churches shrink. Those labels aren't very helpful, especially in Canada, where those words immediately make us think about political parties. Further, people disagree about what makes a healthy church. A church with 500 people is not necessarily healthier than a church with 50 if it has the wrong priorities. As we know, there are many churches which are numerically small, but which are still doing good work for the kingdom. Having said that, based on my own reading and observations, healthy churches in North America, no matter their size, tend to have some things in common. At the top of the list is an alignment with historic Christian beliefs, like what we find in the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. Related to this is a serious commitment to teaching from the Bible across the ministry of the church, i.e., not just Sunday mornings. David Kinneman and Gabe Lyons confirmed this in their own research, quote, "Immersion in Scripture is a driver of church growth and spiritual vitality," end quote. Are there other important factors that need to be present? Absolutely. But if Orthodox beliefs are missing, a healthy, vibrant church is not possible, even if it has open doors and a full list of activities. If the triune God isn't honored, and if the Holy Spirit isn't working, nothing else matters. With all of these observations in mind, and perhaps a few observations of your own, is it possible that this new research can shed further light about what is going on? The State of Theology is a nationwide survey conducted by Lifeway and Ligonier Ministries, revealing how people today view key doctrines of the Christian faith. It is focused on Canadian evangelicals. Although Canadian evangelicals are not the only group who would identify themselves as Christians, I'm unaware of other studies this year on a similar topic in other subsets of the Christian community, so our focus, therefore, is on this specific group. First, the report highlights trends in church attendance based on generation. Boomers are people who were born between 1946 and 1964. Gen X refers to people born between 65 and 80. Millennials are people born between 81 and 96. And Gen Z refers to people who were born between 1997 and 2012. The research found that boomers, and also elders born before 46, went to church on average 1.4 times a month. Gen X went 1.6 times, millennials went 1.8 times, and Gen Z went 1.9 times. In other words, younger Christians went to church more frequently than older Christians. As is often noted, church attendance isn't always the best indicator of one's actual faith. So fortunately, the research looked into a variety of belief statements as well. The research found that younger Christians actually held to more traditional views in greater numbers than their elders. Keep in mind those four age categories that I previously mentioned. The youngest is 18 to 34. The second youngest is 35 to 49. The second oldest is 50 to 64. And the oldest is 65 and above. When asked about a variety of beliefs, the youngest two categories were more historically evangelical than the older two. Let me say that again. When asked about a variety of beliefs, the youngest two categories were more historically evangelical than the older two.
The Lifeway Ligonier report said that there has been recent commentary on a possible renewed interest in Christianity among younger Canadians. The findings of the first State of Theology Canada survey do indicate a more widespread acceptance of biblical teaching by younger respondents, even on those topics where historic Christian theology is more obviously in conflict with secular attitudes, end quote. In other words, on issues like marriage and gender, younger evangelical Christians are pushing back against trends in the wider culture to change or influence attitudes in these areas. Recently, Alex Hibbs wrote an article in the Washington Post called "The Reconquest of Mainline Protestantism." As a part of that, he highlighted Operation Reconquista, a group of Gen Z Christians trying to steer mainline Protestant denominations back to historic Christianity from within. Now, what do I mean by historic Christianity? Well, this is the true Christian faith, rooted in the Bible and in the historic creeds and confessions of the church. Many mainline Protestant denominations, like the Uniteds, Anglicans, Presbyterians, and Baptists, have been wrestling with theological drift. In some key ways, they have lost their tethering and have shifted their focus to more progressive social issues. It's possible to attend services in some of these churches and never hear the gospel. Now, let me be clear. Working for social change is good. We want to share the love of Christ. But what has happened is that in some of these denominations or associations, they've adopted the secular viewpoint on a variety of issues and have then made their stance on these issues their central identity. This distorts the biblical teachings and sidelines Christ. If our thinking becomes skewed about who Jesus is and what he teaches, then the love or compassion we provide will be misguided and misleading. Progressive Christianity, meaning liberal Christianity, he says, can't keep people in the pews. Hibbs says, a Christianity that abandons belief in the divinity of Jesus, man's need for salvation, and biblical sexual morals only to conform to the latest cultural trend has nothing to offer people concerned for their souls, end quote. Recently, I attended the National General Meeting of the Presbyterian Church in Canada. I met with a group of Christians who are a part of a similar renewal movement here. Oh, and they were the youngest people in attendance. Afterward, in a blog post, they made this statement: "We hope that the Presbyterian Church in Canada will soon return to its reformed confessional roots, repenting of its past sins, of straying from God's word, and refusing to clearly acknowledge Christ before others. We pray that the church will fully embrace Scripture as divinely inspired words of God, infallible and authoritative over the lives of all Christians," end quote. Now, when saying all of this, I don't mean to suggest that all young Christians have a more evangelical outlook. They do not. Further, I know of a few, quote, liberal churches who are doing better than you might expect. There are many well-meaning people in these churches. Again, I know some of them who are working hard and who have sincere convictions. Now, I think they're misguided, but they are hardworking and sincere nevertheless. The point I'm trying to make is that a tide is turning, and that tide includes living water that appeals to a new generation hungry for the grace and truth of a Jesus who is more than just a mouthpiece or mascot for the flavor of the day. But why is all this happening? Well, the Lifeway Ligonier report was cautious on this point, but as a pastor of 18 years, dad of teenagers, and close cultural observer, let me take a few minutes on some informed speculation. 1. The real Jesus. The real Jesus is more appealing and powerful than substitutes or contortions. Young people are not naive when they hear from their parents or grandparents about a version of Jesus who sounds very much like a pushover who never stops smiling, and then start to read their Bibles for themselves. They soon discover that they haven't been told the whole story. In saying this, let me be clear that there are conservative, quote-unquote, churches who also misrepresent Jesus. Based on some of the things I hear, it can seem as if Jesus is a Pharisee who is always making everyone feel bad about their inadequacy, or that he would carry around a gun protecting his land if only they had shotguns in Nazareth. Well, that too is a misrepresentation. To a generation of people who are already suspicious not only of compromise in general, but of churches who want to blend in with a society in freefall, the real Jesus of the Gospels is more compelling than distorted portrayals on either side of the theological spectrum. The true Jesus is more than just a moral teacher who came to an untimely death on a cross. Scholar Luke Timothy Johnson says the most important question a Christian needs to ask him or herself is whether or not Jesus is still alive. The answer to that question changes everything. Christ is risen is not just something you say on Easter morning. He is alive and reigning at his Father's right hand today, right now. He opens his arms in forgiveness, but also preaches repentance. He warns against throwing a stone at a sinner, but then tells that same sinner to go and clean up her life. He casts out actual demons. He heals the sick. He turns water into wine and preaches fervently about a kingdom that will turn the world upside down. In the words of English pastor Charles Simeon, the truth is not in the middle and not in one extreme, but in both extremes. That's a great description of Jesus, radical love and radical truth, not to the exclusion of one another, but at the same time. 2. The Emperor's New Clothes. Do you remember that old story about the Emperor's new clothes? Two swindlers convinced the Emperor's servants, and then the Emperor himself, that his new clothes were marvelous, even though no one could see them. Since no one wanted to look dumb, and since no one wanted to upset the Emperor, who himself had come to believe in these marvelous but invisible clothes, everyone went along with the insanity. And do you remember what happened? The first person to say anything against the crowd was a child, but he hasn't got anything on. We are living through a time of radical societal change, and a lot of that change is not good. Perhaps the high-ranking representatives of officialdom have started to believe their own press releases. Everything is marvelous. And just like in the Emperor's new clothes, perhaps it is the young people who are prepared to call them on it. Turns out that Jesus is in fact a greater king. If you've been told your whole life that it's all relative, and that we're just descended from monkeys, and that when your heart stops beating, you're just simply vanish into nothingness, how would you feel? Yeah, exactly. Add into the mix the nonstop digital assault on our brains and the perpetual threat of cancel culture if you just so happen to offend the wrong people, and you start to hear a collective groan that sounds something like this. There's got to be more than this. Isn't there someone who cares for us, who will tell us the truth, and who can speak to the eternal questions of my soul? Well, of course, there is. His name is Jesus, and everyone has a meaningful place in his glorious and everlasting kingdom, including those who don't have gray hair yet. 3. Shifting sand. Speaking of our world, it is not a stable place. There are wars and rumors of wars. There's a new controversy every 6 months. The time span between those controversies is probably going to get shorter. People seem to yell a lot. Politics and pandemics and social media platforms have not helped. If someone were to announce tomorrow that there's a new global disease spreading rapidly, or that it is now a human right to identify as a rabbit, or that World War III has begun, would you be surprised? I wouldn't. With this in mind, the historic faith, and churches rooted in that historic faith, are fairly stable places. There is something eternal and deeply rooted about Christians gathering on Sunday, as they have done for millennia, to read from the Bible, recite ancient creeds, pray for one another, sing with one voice, help people who are hurting, share light, and stand under a single solitary emblem, the cross. Is the church perfect? Of course not. Are there things that sometimes need to change? Yes. Can we get arrogant or apathetic? Yes. Has the church made mistakes? You bet. But the Church of Christ, rooted in her historic past, is bigger than any government, nation, cultural controversy, or stain. Under the Lord Jesus, she is bigger than any of us could ever have imagined, and she'll still be standing long after all of us have had our funerals. Maybe that's actually appealing to all generations, including those who have been lied to or misled about who and what matters most. Barry Corey is the president of Biola University. In an interview, he said that Christians should have soft edges and firm centers. Soft edges and firm centers. I think that's helpful. Soft edges is a reference to loving and compassionate hearts as we interact with others. Firm centers is a reference to resolute beliefs which are securely tethered to our eternal God. Sounds like a wonderful biblical recipe for a hurting, spinning world. In closing, yes, something is happening. Not for everyone, but for some, and the story is still unfolding, but it seems to be good. Let's keep our eyes fixed on the real Jesus for the glory of God.